Warning, this episode has a very tinny quality to it. I just realized that the mic, the input volume was like all the way up. And so the sound quality, not beautiful. I'm sorry, but I want to get this posted and I don't really have time to do it again. So if you can put up with it for 1 week, I promise to do better next week. Thank you. Hello and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, I'm back. This is episode 106, the I'm back episode. I just have one quilt diary. It's a long one that I recorded on Wednesday. I don't know why I didn't get this up yesterday. I just didn't. It's one of those things where it's about 8:30 at night, and I'm thinking, wow, I meant to post the podcast. I meant to do the introduction and post the podcast, and I didn't, and now it's 8:30, and I'm in my jams, and I'm about to sit down and do some knitting, because the man's birthday is Monday, and I'm knitting him a hat, and it's a very simple hat. I knit one for Jack and Will and my dad for Christmas, and it's a hat that takes like 2 days of maybe 4 hours total to knit. So no problem getting the hat knit, but I've got to finish these socks, and the socks will take longer. It's a very fine wool, and the man's feet are man-sized, so I really hope to be done. I can always give him one sock and then finish up the second sock, but it's nicer to give the whole pair of socks. Anyway, so that's where I was last night. I thought, I'll just do it today, maybe step on Pam's toes a little bit over at Hip to Be a Square, but she's so nice, she won't mind. Anyway, hello, Happy New Year. All is well, just kind of got eaten up by December the way that I always do. Happens every year. We had a good Christmas. We were sick. I talk about it in the quilt diary. My parents came in. That made everything very nice. It kind of helped keep the party atmosphere going. So I don't know what to tell you because I think I just talked a whole lot in the quilt diary. So I don't want to be stepping on my own toes, my own verbal toes there. But it is Friday, by the way, January 4th. It's a beautiful day. We've had sort of this gray, gloomy weather for a while. Not terribly cold, in the 40s, and today it's just bright blue and crisp, and it's cold right now, but it's going to be about 52 degrees later in the afternoon, which is typical for this time of year. I always get a little worried in January because we can have long stretches of very gloomy weather, and I live in a dark house. And sometimes, you know, I just have to make myself go, like, work in a cafe or something to be out and about, because otherwise it gets a bit dreary. But on a day like today, not dreary at all. I have braces. I talk about this, but I do. If I sound a little funny, braces. In fact, I'm getting drooly. That's the only problem with them. They don't hurt. They feel kind of strange, but if you talk for any length of time, you start to drool. Problematic. Especially for a podcaster. I'm looking forward to this year. I hope it's going to be a good year. I'm excited about the quilts I'm going to work on. I'm excited about the work I'm going to do for the Folklife Institute. We've got several projects that I'm helping out with. I just enjoy it so much. And for Christmas, the man gave me a new audio recorder, and we have some plans to do some projects ourselves. And I haven't actually sat down and learned how to use it. I'm trying to be good and actually sit down and read the instruction manual and feel like I really know what I'm doing, because I have a bad habit of not doing that and just kind of winging it. But I would like to set out kind of knowing what I'm doing. And I keep thinking every morning when I take Travis out for his walk, just to walk and record the morning sounds. We still have lots of birds here. So I might do that. Who knows? Maybe I'll share some audio doc moments with you. But I do want to do some audio documentary stuff this year. So excited about what the year may bring. You don't ever know what the year will bring, but it's good to start out with a positive attitude, and I have one. I want to say thank you to everyone who commented on episode 105, which does seem like it was a long time ago. I want to say thanks to Terry and AJ Dub, Noni, Sherry D. Walker Lady, Loretta Six. Everyone was very nice about the sweater I made for Will, which I don't know that he's worn yet. It's not been that cold. It's a little bit tight because of the ribbing. It's stylishly tight. It's not small, but it's a clingy kind of sweater, and I think he's a little bit like, I don't know about this, but it's done, and I finished it, and that was my goal. Heard from Katie, Sally H., heard from Kelly the Fifth, who says, I always get eye twitches and anxiety at this time of year. I so admire folks who get less overwhelmed than me and can pull it all off. And I just love that eye twitches. Yes, you get these certain points during the holiday season where it's all kind of looming over you. And yeah, you get twitchy. It's just hard. But you know what? It turned out fine. We got sick. There's a huge bug that I think is actually global at this point. And we got it. It's definitely local. Everyone was getting, a lot of people were sick over Christmas. Fortunately, we kind of got it one at a time. So, you know, it wasn't like we were all in bed, you know, upstairs with the lights out all together. That would have been depressing. And again, fortunately, my parents were here at Christmas and that lifted the mood. Heard from Tori, who also sent me a great video of a quilt she made with her son, Eric. So handsome that Eric is. What a nice guy. Heard from Laura. Linda at the beach. Mom of Shannon in the desert. Heard from Sue in upstate New York, from Carol, and from Jenny, who is a little worried. She posted this morning, actually. Frances, are you okay? We are missing you in podcast land. I am okay. I'm good. I'm going to try to be regular. I actually am hoping to do some quilt work tomorrow. I don't know about today. I have to get this knitting done. Have to get it done. But I do have quilty dreams that I talk about in the quilt diary. So I have some quilty dreams for this year, and I'm ready to get to work, to get in my space and work. I've missed that kind of work, my quilty work. So I'm looking forward to getting back to that. I hope you have big plans for a great new year, and I hope you'll keep listening. I'm glad to be back. It's nice. It's nice for you, of you to tune in. And now we'll listen to the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Wednesday, January 2nd, 2013. I haven't been around for a while. Mostly Christmas. Christmas just does me in. It was a good Christmas. We had a nice Christmas. My parents came, which was good because the bug that I think everyone in the world got. I was reading a blog that's by a writer in New Zealand, and she was like, oh, we all got the stomach bug over Christmas. I'm like, us too. And it was one of those things where just the whole family toppled one at a time. And it was okay, but it was really good to have my parents here because they're very good company. They're very good guests. And it made it feel like a party. And if, you know, on December 23rd, which is actually when they came, I felt bad in the morning and then I rallied and the man went down. And the man is a big source of energy in this family. Like a big source of social energy. He is, we need him. And so he went down, but my parents picked up the slack. I think he came down for dinner and may have gone back right afterwards. And he rallied a bit on the 24th, though I don't think he was still feeling great, but I think he felt well enough to kind of pretend like he was feeling better. And then Jack went down. And he actually missed Christmas. He got up to see what Santa Claus had bought. He opened a couple presents, and then he's like, I've got to go back upstairs. And he didn't have Christmas dinner. And Jack is such a Christmas guy. I felt just sad because he loves Christmas. He loves Christmas dinner. We do the same thing for Christmas that we do for Thanksgiving, turkey, mashed potato stuffing, just the exact same menu. It's his favorite thing. It's his favorite dinner. And he missed it. That was sad. But again, my parents were here, so it wasn't as sad as it might have been. And it was really a nice Christmas. I was sick a little bit, and then I thought I was better. And then last Thursday, so the 27th, I got really sick. I mean, not really sick, not horrible, but just like was definitely sick. And was sick Thursday, Friday, started feeling a little bit better Saturday, and then was pretty much fine by Sunday. So, here it is, Wednesday. If I sound funny, if I sound weird at all, I have braces. And I think I lisp a little bit now. I may be lisping for the next 18 months. I don't know. I hope not, but it's a possibility because that's how long I'm going to have them. They're okay. They're okay. I look goofy. Everyone says, oh, you don't look goofy. And I'm sure I look goofier to myself because I'm actually the only one who is standing like 2 inches in front of the mirror and doing what my dad called the rictus grin. He's like, you know, maybe if you didn't do the rictus grin when you told people you had your braces, maybe a little less out there. And it's true. I think in real life when I'm just talking, People actually don't even notice right away. I ran into a friend of mine at the grocery store right before Christmas, and we were chatting a while, and I said, by the way, I have braces. And she said, oh, you do. So that's good. They're clear right on the top six brackets are clear. The rest are metal. It's not a huge deal. You know, I guess it would have been better to have them when I was 13, but I'd rather feel this goofy at 48 than 13. You know, I was already feeling goofy enough. By now, I'm used to feeling goofy. I feel goofy pretty much every single day of my life. So it's not as big of a deal. I'm a little more self-conscious than I might have predicted. And what happens, and it's happening right now as we speak, after I speak for a while, I start kind of drooling a little bit. And I also think that my lips, maybe from the braces contact, they start to swell a little bit. And then I become very self-conscious about having the braces in my mouth. But, you know, I look at the pictures. If any of you have gone through adult orthodontia, you know, or maybe even childhood orthodontia, but when I went in the summer for the consultation, they take these pictures where they put these plastic things in your mouth to pull back your lips. And when those pictures came out, you know, when they showed them to me, I was like, wow, you know, my teeth could use some braces. They really could. And when I get the braces off, I will actually have my teeth whitened, which needs to happen. And then I'll just be fabulous. I'll be 50 years old and just look better than I ever have in my life. Okay, the timer's going off of making Will some mac and cheese. One of my New Year's resolutions, get Will to eat better. But we'll talk about that in a sec. Hold on. All right, mac and cheese made. One of the things I'm going to work on with Will, smoothies. I have a very nice recipe for strawberry smoothies. And, you know, you can kind of throw stuff in there, flaxseed and protein powder, and make it with yogurt, a little bit of honey. The strawberries do a pretty good job of sweetening. I get organic frozen strawberries once we go through our supply of our own frozen strawberries from the Grow Your Own farm we go pick at in May. I'm thinking about trying to grow some of my own strawberries this year. I don't know if I'll get around to that or not. The man, I think we've discussed this, is a little bit of a garden hog. So if he's not into the idea, then I'll have to do it in pots. Possibility. Anyway, I've got a few more minutes to talk before my eggs are hard boiled and I'll need to go peel them. I am making deviled eggs. As a person with braces, I'm still seeking soft foods that don't get stuck in my teeth. My teeth don't hurt at all. They haven't hurt very much at all. If you're thinking, oh, I'd like to get braces, but I don't want to deal with the pain. Even when they were put on that day, I took Advil, and it just wasn't a big deal. It was strange having something in my mouth. There was a lot of pressure, but it wasn't even bad pressure. It was kind of in the way that sometimes when you feel pressure, it can feel kind of good. It was kind of a good pressure. What hurt is if I accidentally like touched a fork to my tooth or a spoon, or if my teeth actually made contact with each other, that really hurt. But there wasn't a ever-present steady pain. Nonetheless, eating with braces, it's not as fun. Stuff gets stuck in your brackets all the time, and so you're not having the satisfying kind of mouth experience of eating. You might have a nice flavor experience, but as far as sort of the delight of chewing and what that's all over, and mostly you just feel all the stuff getting stuck in your teeth. And you're like, oh man. So it's good. I've lost a couple pounds. I think I'll lose more because you really become more conscientious about what you eat. But one of the things, hard-boiled eggs and deviled eggs. And I'm a huge fan of deviled eggs. And, you know, make them with light mayonnaise. They're not as fattening, I think, as people think. And they're soft. And they fill you up. Because that's, anyway. And I'm trying not to eat pasta. And a lot of pasta is actually kind of gets in there, too. Like spaghetti, forget it. Anyway, I'm making some deviled eggs. And this whole time I've took to explain to you that that's what I'm doing. I have 2 minutes left to talk. And in that 2 minutes, what I want to tell you that's actually quilty is I finished my sister-in-law's quilt, the golden quilt. And it came out beautifully, but there was a sadness attached to it, and that is some of the color bled. The back was this beautiful blue, predominantly blue, like a royal blue with some gold. I washed the quilt, and it bled. The big borders on the front of the quilt, the sort of 5-inch borders were this gold fabric. And it didn't, it was just in little spots. It did not ruin the quilt at all. and it's the spots are noticeable, but not they, as far as like, not if you were riding past the quilt on a horse. No, you would not notice them. But if you were examining the quilt, you certainly would see them. They're very light. They almost look like they could have been a mistake in the fabric or flaw in the fabric as opposed to a bleed through. I mean, that may be stretching it a little bit. So, but you know, I was very self-controlled. I showed some self-control that normally, that even a year ago, I'm not sure I could have done this. I feel like I've matured. But when my sister-in-law called on Christmas Day and she loved the quilt, she's like, it's so beautiful. I love these colors, et cetera, et cetera. This is gorgeous. And, you know, and it was great. She's like, oh, it must have just taken you forever. And I did say, you know, It you know, took about 6 months, but and it was, and I'm always like, it's really, it was very fun to do, you know. So I think people like think, oh, you must have really labored. What a labor. And it's like, no, it's really fun. But I did not say sorry about the fabric bleed, because you know, I'm not. She will notice it. She's an interior designer. She looks at things. She'll see it. But I think that that can kind of, when you do something like that, when you sort of apologize for your work that way, it's almost, then it becomes the dialogue instead of this exchange of pleasure. Thank you so much for making me this. It's beautiful. I'm so happy to have made it for you. It was so much fun to work on. It becomes this exchange of apologies. Oh, I'm so sorry. You know, the one thing is that fabric bled through, and then she would have to go, oh, you know, and then she has to go, oh, you know, reassure me. Don't worry about it. Oh, blah, blah. And it becomes a different kind of discussion, which is less fun, and is not fun, would not be fun for her to have. You know, so even if she notices it, which again, she will, that would not be a fun discussion. Why not just enjoy what worked, and overall the quilt worked, and I will post a picture. All right, my eggs are hard-boiled, and I will come back in a minute, and we'll go on to something else. Who knows what? Back again. Trying a little bit of an experiment. So I just peeled 5 of the 7 eggs that I boiled. And it wasn't easy peeling. A friend of mine told me that one of the tricks with hard-boiled eggs is that you should use eggs that are not too fresh. They need to be a little bit older. And I need to get back. I love hard-boiled eggs and deviled eggs. And when I'm really in the mode of making them a lot, I remember to always sort of put 6 or 7 eggs to the back of the fridge and let them sit there a couple weeks and then hard-boil them. And it does make a difference. But I have peeled 5. They did not peel beautifully. So I put 2 in the fridge just to see. Would that make a difference? I don't know if it will or not, but it's an experiment. It's science. What other quilty news do I have? Not much. I'm excited because I actually have some quilty plans other than finishing the mosaic quilt. This is Will's last year at the lower school of our fine school, Durham Academy, which is a very fine school, really happy, and he's had a great experience there, and Jack had a great experience at the lower school as well. And I very much like the school director. I think she does a fantastic job. She is just a really, really good at what she does. And I'm happy to say, by the way, since the terrible shooting on December 14th in Connecticut, they have at our fine school changed some of the security deals, including, I've always felt the lower school is such, it was way too open. And there are like entrances in the back, and that's bothered me. And sure enough, those, they have decided from now on, the back entrances, there's only going to be one way into the school through the front. And they're also increasing the amount of security at the school, security guards. But anyway, so I was happy about that. Anyway, she's terrific in any number of ways. So I want to make her a quilt, and also her administrative assistant, Mrs. Crawford, who is part of Will's school family. This is a neat thing they do in the lower school. When you start, you are put in a family, and it's kids from different grades and different teachers. And Mrs. Crawford is in Will's family, and she's just fabulous. She's just one of these people. I don't know how old she is. I suspect early 60s. She has grown children. She is lovely. And whenever you see her, she's just the nicest person in the world. Really helpful. I do some work with her because I do I schedule the arts programming, the arts assemblies for the lower school and the middle school. And so I work with Mrs. Crawford on that. And she's so helpful. The secretary at the middle school, is really mean. So anyway, I would like to make her a quilt, and maybe the librarian, Michelle, who I'm friends with, don't just have a parent-teacher relationship with. And she's just been wonderful. And I will miss these people a lot. Now we will be done with the lower school where we have been involved now for 8 years. So maybe nine. Maybe this is our 9th year there. I'd have to count it out, and that would be boring to do right now. But anyway, and this is it. This is our last year. So I'm excited to have some ideas, to have some goals. And I will need to have these done by the end of May. School colors are green and white. Will I stick to the green and white palette? Probably, to some extent. Anyway, I need to think about what kind of quilts I want to do, but I am happy about that. Oh, here's another little bit of neat quilting news. My mom, one of her Christmas presents to me was a Craftsy class. When she was here, we sat down and looked at the quilting classes, and there's one on machine quilting, not advanced, but kind of, it looked like an intermediate class. And I haven't done it yet, but I am going to do it, and I'm excited about that. And if I have, I've just listened to Sandy over at Quilting the Rest of Us, not her most recent episode, but the one before that. And she was talking about quilty goals. I don't know. In fact, she has some sort of thing going, which is probably by now the deadline may have passed, where she was asking people to send in quilty goals and their quilty word for the year. I believe hers is play. Play is a good one, and I like that. Although my word overall, not just quilty for this year, frugal, yes. And this will have some application to quilting. I have scraps. I have fabric to work with. Doesn't mean I'm not going to buy new fabric, and I'm sure I will be buying new fabric for these quilts that I've just talked about. But frugal. That's one. So frugality overarching, and we might talk about that in a few minutes. But as far as quilting class, machine quilting, one of my definite goals for this year is to become better, is to get better. The quilting for Kim's golden quilt, my sister-in-law's golden quilt, was fine. I did the spirals. I don't think I've posted about this. I think I started to do an episode right before Christmas to talk about it, and I just ran out of time. And so I could be repeating myself, who knows? But anyway, I just ended up doing spirals. And if I had to do it over again, I would do larger spirals. I thought they were a little too tight. They looked fine, they looked good, but it does affect the texture of the quilt. And so I would have loosened things up. But anyway, that's what I ended up doing. I ended up not, I had made a template, which I'm very excited that I made it. But you know what? It just wasn't working for that quilt. The pattern, which was sort of a petaled kind of pattern, didn't really work. But quilty goal, better machine quilter. I think that's going to be the big goal. Also, to continue with my sampler quilt with Jay, our next block is going to be curved. And that's great because, of course, the other thing is I would like to do a little more creative sort of art quilt stuff and just play with that. That is where play, I think, will definitely take a role in my quilting this year. Frugality and quilting, again, trying to use what I have. I think maybe not. I don't know that I bought a ton of magazines. We need to talk about magazines. I've got all these magazines. One of the things when we do Christmas and do the Christmas decorating, we have to shift some furniture around, and the red cabinet in our family room. I think it's the family room. Yeah, anyway, I can't remember what we've decided, which one is which. I don't know. Family room. We emptied out and moved out to the garage. And what that held, among other things, were all my quilting magazines. So I've got just, a ton. And I'm trying to deal right now with the question, will I really use these for reference? And I might. I think if I organized them in a way and said, okay, here are magazines that have articles about machine quilting or about this or that, but I might not ever look at them again. I might end up trying just to do some giveaways if people want them. I have a lot of quilters newsletters, a lot of McCall's quilters, American Patchwork. The ones that I will definitely hold on to are the Quilt Mania ones. So let me know if you're interested in getting some magazines, because I can also take them over to my gym. There's like a table with magazines, and I suspect people will pick them up. But if you would like some, let me know. That's another thing. Coupled with frugality is decluttering. This is going to be big, and, you know, every year I say, oh, I'm going to do my attic. And I think, you know, I just need to make that happen. My friend Amy has offered to help me. She knows this is something I want to do. Here's the thing. I may have talked about this, but one of the hard things is there's just all this kids' junk in there. If you have little kids, quit buying them junk. Quit buying them. Just get them wooden stuff with big parts. Stay up for all these plastic pieces because, you know, you have to do something with them. And I just don't want to toss them. Now, Amy and the man have both said, we will toss them for you. And it's sort of, you know, and that may have to happen. Although I had this idea, and I may play with it a little bit, for something to sell very cheaply on eBay, but to take this stuff and, you know, and so we're talking about, you know, toy guys, not G.I. Joes, but, you know, figurines. You know, so Star Wars, there's a lot of Star Wars stuff, there's some, you know, this and that, but actually gather stuff up and try to package in a way like this would be a fun, how to describe it, sort of a box of fun for your kid with figurines and building things and, you know, not trash. I mean, try to really put it together in a way that was sort of a box of fun. And you just sell it for $5. And, you know, and just say, this is neat stuff. It'd be, you know, your kid might like it. $5 just to cover the postage and the box, and it's yours. This is something I'm going to think about and try to really look at what I've got and to see to see could you really put together from this stuff sort of boxes of fun as opposed to boxes of junk. But Amy has said, you know, we have different feeling, you know, about I don't know, I'm more idealistic than Amy is, so I think she's basically, you know, sometimes you just got to chuck stuff. And it's true, and I do chuck stuff, but I would rather find a creative way to get rid of this stuff in my attic. But I really want that to happen, and I am, Amy, I think, can't remember if I said this, she said, you know, why don't you help me with make a quilt, and I'll help you with this, because she really wants to learn how to quilt. She knows how to sew, and she's a very creative person. She has been homeschooling her kids. Her older son, Spencer, is the same age as Jack, so she's been homeschooling for a while. I think Spencer may actually go to high school in a conventional school. It might be, I think they're looking at magnet schools for him. And then she's still homeschooling. She'll still be homeschooling her younger child, Riley, but I think Riley's a little bit easier to homeschool. Anyway, so she's someone who's about to have some more time on her hands and is interested in quilt making. So we may kind of barter a little bit here. I am working right now. I'm taking a break. I got to that point where you get when you're trying to organize stuff and you're just like, oh man, I just got to eat something or something. I can't do this anymore. So I'm taking a break from my study, which I'm actually thinking about. You know, I've talked in the past what to do with that space because I don't really use it. But now I'm thinking, like, maybe I should use it. Maybe it's time to use this space. I have several projects I'm working on, you know, the writing projects, obviously, and the volunteer work I'm doing for the North Carolina Folklife Institute, and also kind of a study on folklore I'm doing myself and trying to understand what it is I'm doing over at the Folklife Institute, et cetera, et cetera. And the man and I are talking about doing some documentary projects this year. One of the things I got for Christmas was a new audio recorder, and it's very, very nice. And I've been wanting to do some oral history projects, and the man does documentary photography. So anyway, so I think I need a space that really is a workspace, and not, you know, I've thought about turning that into my little museum, and it still can be my little funky art museum up there. But I really need to make it a functional space, which is going to mean, among other things, really, there's a closet. It's just an old bedroom. And there's a closet that I really need to go through and just get rid of stuff. I want to be rid of stuff. I want to. So with frugality in the new year, Happy New Year, by the way, my thought is, one, to try to focus more on buying stuff secondhand, not buying anything unless I really need it. I read a tip that I thought was good. If you see something you want, put it on a 30-day list. And if you want it, if you still want it at the end of 30 days, then you can really seriously consider buying it. And I think that's a great idea because I think a lot of us make impulse purchases because the internet makes that so easy. For most of my impulse purchases, I have to say, are books. But we've all done it. Bought a book, bought some fabric, bought this or that. Just so like, oh, let's do it. And they take PayPal. This is great. I don't even have to get out my credit card, right? And I want to really stop doing that. I don't need more stuff. I love books. And there are going to be some books that I do want and I want to have in my collection, and that's fine. But I want to be a little step back. I actually want to stop using my credit card. I need to pay it off after the holidays. But I would like to at least, I mean, and there's some stuff that, you know, you just do. And, you know, and I have accounts like at the gym. It's just credit, you know, monthly they ding my credit card, and that's fine. I don't mind stuff like that. But for grocery shopping and other, certainly land shopping that I do, I want to just start using cash. I like that idea. I think that makes you more mindful of your spending as well. And I don't feel like I have a huge spending problem. I think probably like most of us right after the holidays, I feel like, oh, I'm bleeding money. But one thing, I'm just all over the place, aren't I? I don't even think I'm going to do Quilt Diary Day 2 because I'm already like at 23 minutes. But in any event, one thing I did with this Christmas, which I thought was good, when I started getting like all, I'm bleeding money, that kind of thing. You know, you're spending about what you spend every year. And I couldn't tell you exactly how much we spend on Christmas every year. It could be close to $2,000. You know, if you add up every single thing from wrapping paper and ribbons and bows and postage and Christmas cards and food and wine and beer and presents and et cetera, et cetera. It could be. I'm hoping that's a little bit high, but I suspect if I sat down and added up every single penny, it would be pretty close. Christmas tree, you know, it all adds up. Scotch tape, it adds up. Little foil pans for your banana bread, it adds up. So, but whatever it is, let's say $1,500, $2,000 in that ballpark, I think it's about the same every year. Every once in a while, we'll have what seems like a more extravagant Christmas. But in general, we kind of spend about the same amount on the boys every year, spend about the same amount on each other, get the same food and the same amount of wine. And, you know, so I thought, just quit worrying about it. This is what you spend. And yeah, like, you know, Bill, I have this book by Bill McKibben, The $100 Christmas. We're not having a $100 Christmas. We're just not. There's part of me that would love to live with that kind of simplicity. But that's not the part of me that likes getting presents. You know, just, it's, I don't know. And it's part, when we get older and the boys are out of the house, we'll simplify Christmas a lot. We really will. But right now, it's great to have a feast. It's great to have a big 2-week feast in the darkest time of the year. So I've just decided to let it go. We're not having a $100 Christmas, as much as that idea appeals to me. Not happening at this point in my life. So that was good. Of course, having said all this, I'm thinking, oh, you're probably thinking $2,000 is extravagant. It could be high. That could be high. But I don't really think it is. I think that's probably $1,500 to $2,000. It's probably pretty close. Anyway, but having gone through that, I am at that place where it's just like, too much stuff, spend too much money. I don't know that we really do spend too much money, but I'd like to not have money on my credit card. I'd like to not be in debt on my credit card. And I would like to just be more mindful. You know, I think as much as anything, it's mindfulness that I aspire to. I aspire to paying attention this year. If there's anything, you know, I think there's all this stuff going on around us all the time. You know, you can call it God, you can call it the universe, you just call it fate or coincidence, but stuff happens if you're paying attention to it and connecting the dots. But the more mindlessly you live, the less likely you are to connect the dots. And, you know, I want to live a more spiritual life. I think we all do. And that calls for paying attention. I also, you know, if I have specific, my goals, I lost almost 10 pounds. I kind of lost 10 pounds and, you know, then over the holidays, once I got over my bug, gained a couple. So it's fine. So I lost about 8 pounds this year, which is good. My goal was 10, but 8 is good. I'd like to lose 10 more pounds in 2013, and that will get me very close to sort of what my lifetime goal is, which is not very low, quite frankly. It's about 140. So, but I look good at 140. I really do, even with braces, I'm sure. But also, my goal is always to stand up straighter. I've been very slouchy the last couple months. I don't know why. You know, but it's also to live with integrity. And I'm not like, you know, in some ways I do. I don't cheat. I don't lie. It's sort of the basic how to be a decent person handbook. I follow it closely enough. But I'm talking more like, you know, I am really concerned about global warming. And as such, I really should be hanging out my laundry to dry on the clothesline more than I do. I do it more in the summer, obviously. It makes sense. But that's something that I should be doing. I think makes a difference. And if I don't do it, it's really just laziness. I should be composting more, laziness. But those, you know, those things I think matter. I mean, composting is great because you get such good dirt for your garden. And I think that living mindfully is something that I think is important and that I opt out of quite a bit. So I think one of the things about getting rid of stuff and being frugal is you are paying attention. So my goal this year is to really get rid of stuff that's cluttering up our lives and buy secondhand, which also, environmentally speaking, is important, less of a carbon footprint. My friend Catherine, who I saw yesterday at our neighbor's champagne and waffle brunch, her goal, her resolution is to use 50% less plastic this year. And that's interesting. I in general, have been using less plastic over the last few years. The one thing that I can't find a substitute for is Saran wrap. That's my big plastic usage. I'm pretty good about not getting bottled water and keep bringing my own water and all that stuff. We don't actually buy a lot of soft drinks that would come in plastic containers. The other thing I want to do, which is also, I think, a reduction of carbon footprint, is bake more. I get lazy about that. There's no real reason to be buying cookies. We should be baking them. So anyway, those are some of the things I'm thinking about as we enter the new year. I am really looking forward to the quilts that I plan to make, and looking forward to working with Jay, looking forward to maybe doing some more artsy-fartsy things, and I'm looking forward to more simplified life. I think I am going to end here. It's like 30 minutes, and that's good. I'll go around and do an introduction and say, hey, but this is good. This is, and I'm going to try to be a little better about posting regularly. I don't know how busy this year is going to be. It's possible that I may just decide to do every other Thursday. That may work for me. But I do like having a regular schedule. I think that's helpful. I hope you had a great holiday. And if you didn't, I hope you're recovering from it and looking forward to the new year. And, feeling optimistic, cautiously optimistic, feeling the energy that we can feel in the new year with the holidays behind us and a clean slate in front of us. That's what I hope. I hope all is well. And I will see you again next week. Bye.